So we are talking about the development of Torah. Last week, we discussed when the text of the Torah was written. And today, we're going to talk about first when the Tarjag Mitzvot were given, and then try to understand the origin of Machlokas. We're going to be using the same Makoros as last time, and begin with the question of when were the mitzvos given? So we all know that the Tarjag mitzvos ne'emra l'Moshe mi-Sinai. However, there are a number of problems with the idea that all 613 mitzvos were given at Sinai. We're going to consider three. Number one is there are mitzvos that seem to be given after Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Sinai, and we'll discuss those first. That actually very much relates to Parshas HaShavua. Second of all, we have mitzvos that seem to be new in the Book of Devarim. And third of all, we have mitzvos that Moshe seems to be unaware of when, even after he left Sinai. So let's start with the first category. If we look at this week's Parsha, the first Pasuk, let me even grab a Chumash. Sefer Vayikra begins with the following Pasuk, Vayikra. Hashem el Vayikra Moshe Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me'ol Mo'ed Le'mor. Daber b'nei Yisrael Ve'amarta Aleihem, etc., etc., etc. And proceeds to present the laws of Korbanos. So it sounds like from the Pasuk that these mitzvos were given at Ol HaMoed. When was Ol HaMoed? Ol HaMoed was after Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Sinai, and the Tent of Meeting was set up basically from when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Sinai all the way till the erection of the Mishkan. So that was basically from Yom Kippur. This was the second year after their having left Mitzrayim, the beginning of the second year, until, I guess, the Rosh Chodesh Nisan or so. So here we have Akasha. Does that mean that these mitzvos were not given at Sinai? So it's interesting. Chazal addressed this question. And Chazal say, recorded debate, the Gemara and Sota, Lamed Zayin and Beis, says there's a machlokas. According to Rabbi Yishmael, the klalim were set at Sinai, and the details were set at Ol HaMoed. So even though our psukim talk about, let's say, the laws of Ola, doesn't mean that the concept was first given at Ol HaMoed, but rather the details that are described in our parsha of the Karban Ola, those were given at Ol HaMoed. Rabbi Akiva says that all the details were given at Sinai, and then they were repeated in Ol HaMoed, and they were repeated once again in Arvos Moav. So, according to Rabbi Akiva, even though the details that we have in our Parsha are only recorded in Parshas Vayikra, which is stated in Ol HaMoed, but they were given at Sinai. Okay, we don't, you know, it doesn't tell us everything that was said at Sinai. This is sort of a repetition. Either way, according to both views in Chazal, everything originated in Sinai. Either both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael seem to agree to that. Now, the Ramban has an interesting approach to this. I just want to be mayor. I think it's important methodologically, which is the Ramban says on several occasions that from a perspective of Pshat, these mitzvos were given at Ol HaMoed. And from a perspective of Drash, they were given at Sinai. And he repeats this idea on a number of occasions, and it affects the reading of a number of psukim. So, for example, in our pasuk, beginning of Vayikra, how do we understand that? So Ramban says, Al Pi Pshat, what this means is that these mitzvos were given in Ol HaMoed. Al Pi Drash, they were a repetition of what was given at Sinai. Along similar lines, if you take a look at the Perek, it's in Parshas Tzav, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, the Pasuk says, Zos HaTorah La'ola, La'mincha, V'la'chatas, V'la'asham, V'la'miluim, V'la'zevach HaShlamim, Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe Behar Sinai, B'yom tzavo solos b'nei Yisrael l'akrivas karbonehem l'Hashem b'midbar Sinai. So it's interesting. The pasuk speaks of both Har Sinai and Midbar Sinai. So the Ramban here begins. This is again in Vayikra Zayin Lamed Ches. The Ramban begins by noting that al pidrash all the mitzvos can be given at Sinai. He writes al derech Rabosenu ki kol hamitzvos nemru l'Moshe b'Har Sinai klal osenu pratosein v'dikdu kehen. Vinishnu mehan ba'ol moed, vihine mitzvos vayikra shinuyos. So, according to Chazal, the mitzvos in vayikra are shinuyos. In other words, it's a repetition. Kolam pratim dikdukin were all stated at Sinai. That's the pasha. That's the drash. But he says that al pipshat, they were given in Midbar Sinai, over here. He says two ways to explain the pshat in the pasuk. One way the pasuk is distinguishing between certain halachos of karbanos that were given at Sinai, those are mentioned in Sefer Shmos, and other ones that are given in Ohel Moed. In the second, he distinguishes between Har Sinai, Midbar Sinai, one way or the other, Ein Sham and Ramban. And it is interesting, as I said, methodologically, that the Ramban comes back to this again and again. For example, in his Hakdama to Dvarim, he writes, the Kulan Namru la. Sorry, v'kfar namru lo kulan b'Sinai o ba'ol moed. What does he mean? These mitzvos were given at Sinai or Moed. It means al pipshat in ol moed and al pidrash in Sinai. The Ramban oftentimes will write that present a story al pshat one way and al pidrash a different way, and he doesn't try to resolve it. He'll oftentimes refer to those two perspectives. We're meant to learn chumash al pshat and al pidrash. There's no point in trying to resolve which one is correct because they're both correct, and it's important. It's important for us to be aware of both, and that is an example of the same thing over here. So does the idea that at least that some mitzvos were given in Ohel Moed, does that contradict the concept that all 613 mitzvos were given at Sinai? So not necessarily, and you could really take two approaches to this. One is you could say that Ohel Moed should be seen as an extension of Sinai, since after all, they're at the base of the mountain. They're right next to Sinai. When we say that mitzvos were given at Sinai, so Al-Pipshat, at least, that doesn't just mean Har Sinai, but it also includes Ohel Moed, which was at the base of the mountain of Sinai. Remember, the Jews hadn't left yet. Same shore sheets as last time. Alternatively, you could say that when Chazal say 613 mitzvahs were given at Sinai, that's what he means. That's Al-Pidrash, but not Al-Pipshat. And there might be other psukim that Al-Pipshat suggest that there were mitzvos given later than Sinai. For example, if you look at the last pasuk of Sefer Bamidbar, it says, Eile ha-mitzvos ha-mishpatim asher tziva Hashem b'yad Moshe el b'nei Yisrael be'arvos mo'av al Yordani Richo. So these are the mitzvos that were given in Arvos Mo'av. So what are these mitzvos? So the Ibn Ezra writes that these mitzvos...
Do I get what?
The pasuk says... Eila HaMitzvot.
Dale. Oh, they said Dale. I was like, okay. Are you talking about a YU security guard?
Mute yourself.
Josh, let me try to mute it. Okay. So it says Eila HaMitzvot. So what are these mitzvot? If you look at the Ibn Ezra on that pasuk, he writes, Eila HaMitzvot, Shal Nachala, V'haneder, V'chol Bas Yoreshes Nachala, Mishpatei Adam. In other words, all the psukim from, you know, the end of Sefer Bamidbar, Parak Lamed, Lamed Gimel, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Vav. These mitzvos were given where? At Arvos Moav. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. The Malbim says that, you're right, that might be the pshat. But Chazal teach us all the mitzvos were given at Sinai. So there might be other places as well that suggest this idea that al pi pshat, some mitzvos were given later. What's important for us is, Well, let's turn to another. So that's the second hara. The third is, what about mitzvos that are first mentioned in Devarim? So there are many mitzvos, not that many, but certainly a bunch that are first stated in Sefer Devarim and not earlier. For example, Yibum, Otzi Shemra, Hilchos Gerushin, Edim Zelmanin. So the Ramban in his Hakdama to Devarim writes, this doesn't contradict the idea that mitzvos were given at Sinai, because Moshe already gave those mitzvos earlier. In other words, it's true they're first presented in Sefer Devarim, but they were already given earlier. And he has a raya for this, because the Torah doesn't say in Sefer Devarim, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Limor, tell Bnei Yisrael the following mitzvos, as it does for the earlier mitzvos. So this shows us that these must have been mitzvos that were given earlier. But Moshe didn't instruct Bnei Yisrael about these mitzvos until later, when they became more relevant. Why were they relevant only now at the end of the 40 years? So sometimes the answer is obvious, like, let's say, the halachos pertaining to warfare. So those became most relevant as they're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. Other mitzvos, it's less obvious. The Ramban considers two possibilities. He says either these mitzvos were not transmitted because they weren't applicable yet, even though they aren't necessarily mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz, they still might not have been applicable for some reason until they got in, went into Eretz Yisrael. Or alternatively, says they weren't so common, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu waits till a bit later to teach it to them. Now, I assume that means, let's say, if somebody wanted to divorce their wife while in the Midbar, they would have had to get a get. Moshe Rabbeinu would have told them what to do. But in terms of generally teaching to Klal Yisrael, that didn't happen till a later stage. So I should point out, not everybody agrees with Ramban about this point. The Radvaz has a very interesting tshuva, which I think I put over here for you. The Radvaz says that it's a chelek vav simin beis, alafim kuf mem gimel. He says, it's very shver to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was given these mitzvos at Sinai, but he didn't give it to the Bnei Yisrael until 40 years later. He says Moshe Rabbeinu would be like kovesh nevuaso if he had done that. Rather, the Radvaz says that these mitzvos were first given to Bnei Yisrael in Arvos Moav. He writes about the Ramban, v'divrei teimahem be'enai, shem tziva kadosh baruch hu bahem, daber al Bnei Yisrael, v'chikavash nevuaso arbaim shana, v'im tziva bahem, ela she'amar lo, shelo yomar osam lahem, ela samach l'knisas l'aretz, lo yitzave bahem, ela samach l'knisas l'aretz. Okay. Now, I don't know if there's such a kasha. It's not kovish nevuaso, first of all, because Moshe Rabbeinu was waiting to the point where it's relevant to transmit these things. Ramban writes elsewhere that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to overwhelm the Jews at Sinai. Ki torach gadol haya lelamed liyotzei mitzrayim hachukim v'atoras v'apirushim uvi'uram v'sodam. So he waited. He gave it over time. Alternatively, maybe Hashem told him not to give it till then. Either way, the Ramban seems to tell us that the mitzvos in Sefer Devarim were all given originally. Okay, so far so good. So far we basically have argued that all mitzvos could have been given at Sinai or the area around Sinai or the like.
They were given to Moshe and Moshe told Bnei Israel, they were given to Moshe and Moshe didn't tell Bnei Israel. And then
sounds like he didn't tell Bnei Israel. That's what Ramban sounds like.
I mean, not that he told them, but the Torah just only wrote it down later.
That's what it sounds like, which is why that's why the Radvaz time is on him, he's being kovish nevuaso. Great. We could understand Ramban's position. There's a problem, though. There do seem to be certain mitzvos that could not have been given at Sinai. And there's one place, even though Ramban in most places does seem to refer to all mitzvos being given at Sinai, there's one place where the Ramban seems to state explicitly that there were some mitzvos that were given later, even after Al Moed. And this is, you have it in your sheets, I hope, tried to put it on. It's from the Hasagos Ramban to the Sefer HaMitzvos. And the context over here is the Ramban is defending the view of the Bahag, as he does in Sefer Mitzvot. The Bahag writes that Mitzvot Derabanan are among the 613 Mitzvot. The Rambam is obviously very troubled by this. But in his context, he writes the following. V'hine, shtei parshios betorah, uvahen mitzvos rabos, velo namru l'moshe b'sinai. Alel aron namru velo b'sinai. So first of all, some mitzvos were given to Aaron. What are they? Parshas shtuya yayin, and parshas mishmaros kehuna l'viya matnos kehuna. Okay, that's okay. That's not really troubling, because they were also given to Moshe. Velo chashash l'hotziyam menachash benazah. He's just saying that when it says Tayag mitzvos were given to Moshe Mishinai, it's a little bit lav dafka. But what's more relevant for us is the following. Mitzvos rabos lo namru b'sinai. There are a lot of mitzvos that weren't given at Sinai. Elabishah smaisa. They were given at the time that they became relevant. Kegon, din mekoshesh uvnos tzlofchad, velo chashashu l'kach. He says, I'll give you two examples of a clear-cut cases where mitzvos were given later. And what are they? What are they? Benos Slavchad and Mekoshesh. Ukinin Azeh Amru B'Gemara, Dibnei Marava B'Rishon, Shel Rosh Hashanah, Le'inyan Shnei Malchuso, Shel David Amar, Yehuda B'Rabbi Cheshbon, Meruba Bolea Cheshbon Mu'ad. Oh, and what's the pshat? So I think what he's saying is that it means most mitzvos were given at Sinai, but not all. So let's try to explain this a little better, right? Now, so what's he saying? Well, let's look at his two examples. So the two examples are pretty straightforward, how we know that they weren't given at Sinai, right? It's very clear from the psukim that the laws of inheritance, Chevres learning Bava Bashra, were given in response to the request of the Benost Slavchad for a portion in the land. This took place at the end of the 40 years, right? So Rashi says they were Chachmani Yosein, they waited until Shas Maisa, they asked Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them the answer at that point. So it sounds like those laws weren't given until later. Now it's not absolutely mefurish. There's actually a Tosfos Rid in Bava Basra. I don't know if any of you saw it. It's on the Kuf Yud Testament base. And he sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu actually did know the laws, but he only transmitted it at that point. But the Ramban assumes that's Dochak. It doesn't sound like Moshe Rabbeinu knew the halachos. It sounds like he turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to ask him, what's the pshat? It doesn't sound like he forgot them either. Interesting question, what is Nel Momianu halacha? But anyway, so it doesn't sound like he forgot them. It sounds like the laws were only given then. Same thing the Ramban says, Lagabe Mekoshesh. So again, there it's a detail in the sense that Moshe Rabbeinu knew that a Mechal Shabbos was Chayiv Misa. They didn't know which Chayiv Misa. But one way or the other, Ramban says, you see from here, that the statement of Tarayag Mitzvos Namel Moshe Misinai should not be understood absolutely literally. So but Chazal tell us 613 mitzvot were given at Sinai. Either that means most were given at Sinai, or maybe you could say the root of the mitzvot were given at Sinai, meaning to say, even in these examples, more obvious by Mekoshesh, but maybe also by Benos Tzlachad, by the Dine Yerusha. It's worthwhile noting that Chazal, it's interesting, there's a couple of formulations. There are some places where the Gemara says that Taryag Mitzvos were never, it's not in the Gemara, where Chazal say Taryag Mitzvos were given at Sinai. But in most places, it says mitzvot were given at Sinai. So let's say the famous Gemara in Makos, Chaf Gimel Amud Beis, Darsh Rabbi Simlai, Sheish Meos B'Shalsh Mitzvos Namru L'Moshe, doesn't say B'Sinai. In the Medrash Tanchuma, it does, Rabbi Simlai is quoted as B'Sinai. It says, I'm Rabbi Simlai, Taryag Mitzvos Namru L'Moshe B'Sinai. But the formulation of the Gemara Makos is Namru L'Moshe, doesn't say B'Sinai. So if you look when the Rambam and the Meiri, others quote this Gemara and Makos, they do say B'Sinai. Anyway, so it would seem that that when it says Taryag Mitzvos Nemar L'Moshe Misinai, it means almost all the mitzvos. What about Ramban? Ramban says, like we mentioned at the Hakdama to Sefer Dvarim, that the mitzvos in Sefer Dvarim were all given at Sinai. So I don't think that's Akasha. And the Mabit makes this point in Beis Elokim. The Mabit writes that what the Ramban means is that the mitzvos in Dvarim were given at Sinai. He doesn't say that all mitzvos were given at Sinai. He writes, it's in a Perek Lamed Zayin. He writes of all mitzvos, shenizkiru bepinchas matos maaseh ner beferu shelo uskiru kiyim darvas ma'av. So that's interesting ha'ara. And he says, el ha'emesh ha'kol ha'mitzvos shehuskiru b'mishneh Torah afilu osan shelo uskiru klal b'sfar ma'kadmonim kulum nemru b'sinai v'o'ol ma'ved. So he's not saying that the Iker Yisod of the Ramban in that Hakdama is that the mitzvos in Dvarim were given at Sinai. It doesn't say all mitzvos were given at Sinai. There are other places where the Ramban does say Taryag mitzvos were given at Sinai. I think in light of what he says in the Sefer Mitzvos, that means rov, ruba deruba, but not necessarily all. You could try to be docha this source in Sefer Mitzvos and say that what he means, there he's just being miyashev the Bahag Shita, that's not his own Shita. We do find that, Agav, in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban does sometimes defend the Bahag, presumably not in his own Shita. For example, regarding the mitzvah of Anochi, the Bahag famously doesn't count Anochi as a mitzvah, the Ramban does. And in Sefer HaMitzvos, the Ramban defends the Bahag Shita, he explains why Anochi isn't a mitzvah. But if you look at his commentary in Parshas Yisro, he agrees with the Ramban in Eli B'Demes, and he says Anochi is a mitzvah. But I think the more pashut understanding is that when the Ramban says that the mitzvahs were given at Sinai, he means most mitzvahs were given at Sinai, as he explains in the Sefer Mitzvos. Along similar lines, there's a very fascinating piece on this topic in the Chazon Ish. It's an Or Chaim Simin Kuf Chaf Hei, Sif Dalid especially, but Kuf Chaf Hei. It's a very interesting piece in the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish, what in the world is the Chazon Ish doing, like writing about when the mitzvahs were given? Right, the Chazon Ish is like a Sefer Halacha. It's very unusual for the Chazon Ish. So there's a piece in Dr. Benny Brown's biography of the Chazon Ish. I saw it in his dissertation, which was published, which is for his dissertation on the Chazon Ish from Hebrew U. So he says, what Vosepis, that there was this like this discussion of the Chazon Ish on when the mitzvos were given. So he writes that when the Chazon Ish, he was still in Europe, he used to sort of help Bachrim that were struggling with Inyanei Emuna and had questions and the like. You could get some idea of this, though it's hard to know exactly what which parts are true and which aren't from the famous novels of Grada. Anyway, so the Chazon Ish used to help the youth that were struggling with Inyanei Emuna, and this story, I think in Brown's biography says he was told this by Leo Levy. Anyway, that he came, somebody came with the Chazon Ish with all these questions, including, you know, when mitzvos were given, and the Chazon Ish responds and is presented here in the Chazon Ish over here in Or Chaim. So in that one sense, it's not like the Chazon Ish's other writings, but in another sense, it's actually exactly like the Chazon Ish's writings. In other words, the Chazon Ish always goes ahead. He goes through all the makoros and he weighs the options and he presents the different possibilities and the view that he thinks is correct. And his analysis, even though it's not halacha, it's like psukim, it's Ramban's. His main focus is to understand the Ramban in that context. But his style of analysis is really the way it is in any sugya. So it's very fascinating. Simon in the Chazon Ish, take a look there. But the Chazon Ish also says that it's inconceivable, let's say, that the punishment for Chilul Shabbos, or he says also being Mevarechus Hashem from the end of Parshas Emor, or the Dinei Nachla, were given at Sinai. Because in all these cases, it's clear that the Jews in the Midbar did not know the Halacha. And this doesn't contradict the idea that Taryag Mitzvos were given at Sinai, because these are mere details. Why were the details omitted? So he suggests that's what Chazal say. In other words, the details of Dine Nachala weren't given at Sinai so that they could be Nizgalgalu, they could be revealed through Benos Slafchad, and the same thing for Pesach Sheni and the like. Pesach Sheni is a little less of a problem because it's it was still at Olam Moed, but one way or the other, that's what he says. And I think very similar idea to what we were suggesting in Ramban. Okay, so let's summarize. So what have we seen so far? And then I'm going to take Max's question. We've seen that there are numerous statements in Chazal and Rishonim that the Taryag Mitzvahs were given at Sinai. And we suggested that perhaps what that means is most of the mitzvahs were given at Sinai, or the ideas and the basis of the mitzvos that were given at Sinai, but certain details and maybe even certain mitzvos were given later. What's important, and I say, we did note that some seem to take that very literally. That would explain that Tosfos Rid in Bava Basra that I mentioned. But there's also evidence to say it means most. And what everybody agrees to is the idea that all mitzvahs were given to the Jewish people through Moshe Rabbeinu. And so last week we saw that means that the text of the Torah was complete, more or less, with the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, and all mitzvahs were given, all Taryag mitzvahs were certainly given to Klal Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu. And this brings us to the next topic, after I try to answer Max's question. But the next topic is, maybe the Taryag mitzvahs were given through Moshe Rabbeinu, but what about the details, and how does machlokas emerge? Yes, Max, or your hand went down.
Hand went down. He answered it already.
Thank you. Good. So Chazal tell us.
Actually, I had a question.
Yeah.
What about mitzvahs given before Sinai?
So Pashut, that they were given before Sinai, but they were also repeated at Sinai. The Rambam very famously explains in his commentary to the Mishnah on Chulin, based off of Chazal, Nitna Torah v'Nischad Shalacha. So the basis of our obligation to observe the mitzvos comes from Sinai. In other words, maybe Shabbos was given Amara, and maybe Bris Mila was given to Avram Avinu. But we keep Bris Mila because of what Hashem told Moshe at Sinai and the like. Okay, so were the details given? That's what we need to discuss now. So if you take a look, Chazal say in a number of places, the Tars Kalanim, for example, that Rashi cites at the beginning of Parshas Behar, that Taryag mitzvos were stated, Kol Sam, Fratosam, Dikdukayan, Bisinai. The Rambam cites this. If you look at the Hakadama to Mishnah Torah, after the Hakadama, he quotes all the 613 mitzvos, and then he writes, Elohim Sheshmeos, and you have this in your Makoros, Sheshmeos, Vishal Shashay mitzvos, Shanamru lo, Lamosha, Bisinai, Hain, the Kol Sehen, Vupratosehen, Vidikdukayan. The halos and aklos vapratos v'dikduka v'diktukin ubiurin shall call mitzvah mitzvah he tarshabal peh shekiblu based in mipi based in. So he says explicitly that what was given at Sinai, the mitzvos, klalosayan, pratosayan, and diktukayan. And in the Hakdamah to Perashat Mishnayos, he elaborates on this. He gives an example. You have it over here. His example is the mitzvah sukkah. So the pasuk says in the Torah, the sukkah is teshu shivas yamim. What is a sukkah? So we know what a sukkah is. It has to have certain types of walls, a certain number of walls, a certain number, the schach has to be made of Gidulei Karka, Nami Kabel Toma, all those things were given to Moshe Rabbeinu B'Sinai. When Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu B'Sukkos Teshuvah Shiras Yamim, he told him exactly what a sukkah was. And those details were given at Sinai, and so too for all 613 mitzvahs. The Ramban seems to be saying, seems to be saying black on white that the Taryag mitzvahs and their details, which comprise the Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, were given at Sinai. In his Hakadama to Mishneh Torah, he says the same thing again, and he actually explains that's the meaning of the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Shmos, Perek, Chavdal, Pasuk Yud Beis. What was given at Sinai? So the pasuk says, so what are those things? It refers to three things, as we mentioned last time. Luchos Ha'aven, Torah, and Mitzvos. So what are those three things? So the first thing, Luchos Ha'aven, is pretty straightforward. Those are the Luchos, good. What are the second and the third? So the Rambam writes in the Sakdama to Mishneh Torah, again, for this sugya that we're going to be doing this week, if you haven't yet already done it, it's very kedai to read, at the very least, the Rambam's Hakdamah to Mishneh Torah and his Hakdamah to Perashat Mishnayos. So the Rambam writes, Kol ha-mitzvah shenitnu l'Moshe b'Sinai, b'feirushan nitnu. All the mitzvahs given to Moshe at Sinai were given with their interpretation. Shenemar v'etnu l'chas ha-Torah, esa evin v'ha-Torah v'mitzvos. Torah, Zutar Shabachsav. So Torah is referring to the written law. Mitzvah, Zuperusha, and Mitzvot is referring to the interpretation of the mitzvos. Vitziva lasos ha-Torah, alpia mitzvah. We're supposed to follow the Torah, meaning the Torah Shabachsav. Alpia mitzvah, meaning according to the Torah Shabalpeh. U-mitzvah zu, he nikreis Torah Shabalpeh. Now there is agav, I don't want to go into it so much because we spent last year on it, but there's a hara over here, which he writes that Torah refers to the Torah Shebichsav. And the problem is, as we noted last time, that it seems inconceivable that the entire Torah Shebichsav was given to Moshe at Sinai. So what does he mean over here by Torah Shebichsav? It could mean he was referring to the Sefer HaBris that we talked about last time. Sefer HaBris was given at Sinai, and that might even include Parshas Mishpatim, as the Ramban suggests. Or alternatively, and I think this is more likely, that when the Rambam means Torah Shebichsav, he really means the mitzvos as expressed in the Torah Shebichsav, but it doesn't mean the text or the entire text of the Torah Shebichsav. And that's what he means. We're supposed to do, right, that he writes, lasos ha-Torah al-pi ha-mitzvos. We're supposed to do the Torah, meaning to say, do the mitzvos al-pi the Torah Shebichsav. One way or the other, the Rambam here is saying once again, that the details of the mitzvos were given at Sinai. So if we were to stop here, I would say, okay, the Rambam holds that all Taryag mitzvos plus all their details were given to Moshe at Sinai. However, that cannot possibly be what the Rambam means. How do I know that's not what the Rambam means? Because the Rambam tells us again and again, that many details of the mitzvos were not given at all to Moshe Rabbeinu, but were discovered later. Let's give one example of where the Rambam says this. Let's take a look at the beginning of Hilchos Mamrim. It's Perek Aleph, Halachos Aleph, and Beis. The Rambam writes over there, Beis Nagadol Shvi Yerushalayim Heim Iker Tor Shebal Peh, Veheim Amudei Hora, Umeyem Chok Umishpat Yotzei L'chol Yisrael, Valein Eftichat Torah Shenamar Al-Pi HaTorah Sheyerucha, Zu Mitzvos Aseh. So, the source of the interpretation of the Torah is the Beis Nagadol Shirushalayim. And they're meant to interpret the Torah. And this includes the following, okay? And the Rambam is going to say three things. Again, meaning to say, when the Torah says in Parsha Shoftim, Al Pi HaTorah Sheyerucha, you should follow the rulings of the Sanhedrin Nagadol. What is that pasuk referring to? It's referring to three types of rulings. Number one, number one, things for which they had a tradition. That's a Torah Shebal Peh, meaning to say, for example, the Torah says, Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamim. What is a sukkah? What is a schach? Schach has to be made from Darav Shem Kabal Tumah. That's the first thing you have to listen to, right? Mepi Hashmua, the Torah Shebal Peh, the oral tradition given with the Torah at Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu and transmitted from generation to generation. Number two, v'achad advarim shelimdo mepidatam v'achas min amido shatara nidreshes bahen v'nira be'enein shadavar kachu. The second thing for which we have to listen to the Sanhedrin is their interpretation of the psukim that they used, understanding the Torah, alpi the midosh atar nedreshes ben. In other words, there were lots of questions, lots of issues that were not discussed explicitly in the text of the Torah, nor was there a tradition. And how did the Sanhedrin figure out what the Torah meant? By using the midosh atar nedreshes ben. And finally, number three, the echad varim shasam siag l'Torah ulefi shashat tzricha v'hein agzeres teras v'nagim. The third aspect of the obligation of rabbinic authority is legislation, rabbinic legislation, agzeres teras v'nagim. That's the Rambam Shita, that's a mitzvah deraisa to listen to. The Ramban famously disagrees. He says if that's true, then every derabbanan is really a deraisa. Why do we say sakta rabbanan l'hakel? That's a different machlokas, not for today. What's relevant for us today is that is the middle category, right? The Rambam says over here, the first category that you have to listen to Sanhedrin is their traditions. And the second is their own interpretations, their novel interpretations using the Midos, Shatar, and Drashas Bahen. So it's very clear that not every detail was given at Sinai, because the Rambam says explicitly. So then we'll ask, so what does the Rambam mean when he says all the details are given at Sinai? What does it mean when it says, Hein pratosam dikduke nemer l'moshe m'Sinai? So the Rambam himself answers that question. He makes it quite clear, and this is in his Hakdama to Pesha Mishnah. He tells you, what does it mean when I said that klalim pratim dikdukim were given at Sinai? It means the things about which there is a Kabbalah, about which there's a tradition. Listen carefully. Again, you should have it here. Hakdama to Pesha Mishnah. Shekulan peirushim mikubalim mepi Moshe, ve'aleihem ve'aldumehem amru kol haTorah namru klaloseha b'pratoseha v'dikduka b'Sinai. About these traditions, it said that the kolam and pratim and dikdukim were given at Sinai. For example, the Rambam there is referring to the tradition that when it says ayin tachas ayin, it means mamon. About those perushim amikubalim, it is said that the klal and pratim and dukdukim were given at Sinai. It doesn't mean every prat, every diktuk was given at Sinai. It means those ones for which there was a mesora. Now, the Rambam says this in the context of a number of important yesodos, which he lays out. And we'll read some of this inside, but let me introduce it a little bit first. So first of all, the Rambam over here addresses the question of how did machlokas emerge? What is the source? What is the basis of machlokas? And the Rambam tells us that we should not think that machlokas emerged due to the forgetting of the details that were given at Sinai. We'll shortly see why he felt that was such a problematic theory. But rather, machlokas emerged when it came to interpreting the psukim using the midosh atar nedreshes ben. In other words, just because I know what the midosh atar nedreshes ben is, and you know what the midosh atar nedreshes ben are, it doesn't mean we'll necessarily arrive at the same conclusions. Two people could look at the same text, and even with the same rules of interpretation, and come out with a different interpretation. And that's where you find machlokas. Obviously, we're not talking about machlokas in the drabbanan, and that's easy to explain. But when it comes to machlokas about dinim deoraisa, so those aren't because things were forgotten. Those relate to the interpretation of the text of the Torah, where two different sages came to two different understandings, two different interpretations. And that's natural, because when you have human beings interpreting a text, even if it's a divine text, naturally you're going to have two different interpretations. So the Midrash HaTorah Nedreshes Ben might be Halacha Moshe M'Sinai, but the way that they're sometimes utilized isn't. So the Rambam basically says, and we'll see in a moment, that there's five classes of halachos. And the first, well, we'll see what they are, but basically is going to say that the ones for which there's a tradition, namely Perushim HaMikubalim and Halacha Moshe Misinai, we don't find any debate ever. And then about the ones that there is no tradition, namely, like we're saying, the application of the Midos HaTorah Nesh-Bahen, then you'll find Machlokas. And certainly about Kseres Tekhanus and Minhagim. So let's take a look together. Let's read it a little bit from the Akdamot of Perusha Mishnah of the Rambam. Okay. Umi, Shalosh Shama Bo Perush Mepi Navi, Alei Mashal Min Anyanim HaMishtargim Mehem, Hotzi Dinim Bisfarus Bemidos HaShalosh Esrei, Hanisunos al Har Sinai Shatar Nidrash Ben. So when it came to the in explanation of a mitzvah, and they didn't know what it was, so they would use the Midos Shatar Nidrash Ben that were given to Moshe at Sinai. In other words, in a sense, the interpretation of all mitzvos does come from Sinai, just not directly, because like the Rambam writes over here explicitly, that the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Nidrash Ben were given to Moshe at Sinai. Uva Osam Adinim Shaut Siyum Yesh Dvarim Shalom Nafla Ben Machlokas. And in the application of those Midos, those extrapolations, sometimes there was no Machlokas. Of Eskim Olem, the Yesh Mehen Shanafla Ben Machlokas. And sometimes there was a Machlokas. Ben Shtei Deo Zeo Merbekach, Bekov Zeo Merbeko, Zeso Versvara. Each of the different opinions thinks one view makes more sense. It's very common that when it comes to things that are dependent on svara, on human reasoning, that there's a machlokas that's going to emerge. So again, let's summarize what he says. So he's saying that the text of the Torah was given entirely during Moshe's lifetime. The mitzvos were given entirely during Moshe's lifetime, along with many of their details. But, says the Rambam, the details about which you find machlokas, they must not have been given to Moshe at Sinai, but were extrapolated using the Midos HaTorah Nidrash Ben. And as I said before, there are five categories in mitzvos. So number one, he writes over here, are Perushim HaMikubalim. What are Perushim HaMikubalim? That means the interpretation of a pasuk for which we have a tradition. It's Mikubal. For example, that Ayin Tachas Ayin means Mamon. That is a Perush HaMikubal. That the Totafos mean those black boxes that we put on our heads and our arms. Those are Tefillin. That's Perush HaMikubal. Number two is Halacha Moshe Misinai. What's the difference? They both are a tradition. The difference is that Halacha Moshe Misinai refers to dinim that are entirely oral. There's no textual allusion whatsoever. So, for example, how much matzah do you eat on the first night of Pesach? The answer is a kazayas. There's no allusion to that in the pasuk, but like the Gemara says in Brachos, Shiurin, Chatzitzos, Nemru, Halacha Moshe Misinai. Good. Number three are laws that are derived using Svara and the Midos HaTorah Nidrash Ben. Those are rooted in Sinai in the sense that the Midos were given at Sinai, but those halachos were not said to Moshe Rabbeinu, but rather extrapolated from the Chachamim, by the Chachamim later on. So about category one and two, Perushim HaMikubalim and Halach Moshe Misinai, you'll never, ever, ever find machlokas. About category three, and also obviously four and five, we will find machlokas. Category four is gzeros, and category five are takanos and minhagim. The difference between gzeros and takanim, takanos are a little bit not entirely our discussion now, but the kitzur gzera is rabbinic legislation enacted to prevent the violation of a Torah law, like not eating chicken and milk. And takanos and minhagim are rabbinic legislations for the betterment of society. Takana Samarish or the like. Okay, so that's the Mahalich of the Rambam. Now, to better appreciate what the Rambam is saying here, it's kedai to think about who is Balafuke and why he disagrees. So let's elaborate a little bit. The Rambam over here refers to another theory to explain the origin of debate. And the other theory is a theory that is presented by a number of Gaonim. I don't know if it was all the Gaonim, but a number of thinkers prior to the Rambam. You could find this idea in Igeres Rosh Shira Gaon, in the Sefer Kabbalah of the Ravid. When we say the Ravid over here, we mean Rabbi Avram ibn Daud, sometimes known as Ravid number one, as opposed to the Ravid who makes his Hasagos on the Rambam. He's known as, I think, Rambam number two. And also Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon in his Sefer HaMafteach, as well as others. So we're going to talk about it as the Gaonic perspective. And they were also very troubled by this question. One of the reasons why this issue was such an important issue discussed at this time is because the Jewish people had to respond to the challenge of the Karaites who were denying the oral law. And the Gaonim said that how do we find machlokas must be that these laws were forgotten. These laws were forgotten. And they bring a proof from this. Let's read it inside. So we're going to read the paragraph here from the Sefer Kabbalah of Rabbi Avram ibn Daud. And you have it in your source sheets. It's the text that's just like a PDF, right? Not the not text. Okay. Sefer Kabbalah is a very interesting work. It could have to read, not very long. It's chronology or history. It sort of picks up where Rav Shura Gaon left off. There's a lot of very interesting stories that this is the main source for their story, like the famous story about the four Chachamim who are in the boats that were redeemed, and the development of the sort of the post-Gaonic Torah. A lot of very interesting things here. But anyway, let's take a look. This work, Sefer Kabbalah, was written in 1160 or 1161. And so let's take a look. Uliolam, Chachmei HaTalmud, V'chol Shekein Chachmei HaMishnah, Afilu Davar Katan, Lo Amru Milibam. So the Chachmei HaGemara didn't make anything up. Chutz Min HaTakanu Shetiknu Baskamas Kulam, except for the legislation that was made with universal acceptance. How could you find machlokas? In other words, if things weren't made up, if there's a Kabbalah tradition about everything, how do you find machlokas? How do you explain that? He answers, L'kach ani mesupak b'divreihem. That's why I'm a supik. Again, you see that he's sort of addressing people that were wondering about legitimacy of the oral tradition. Maybe I'm a supik. Why should I follow halacha? Because you see how much machlokas there is. Afata hakeshinav. V'hodiyo shehu mamre al pi beisdin. Whoa. V'shelo nechlechu razali olam b'ikra mitzvah ela b'toldoseha sheshamu ikara me'rabu sehim. So first of all, you should take note that the machloksin are not about the ikar, but rather they're about pratim, meaning to say as follows. Everybody agrees what tfilinar and what a sukkah is and what tzchach is and the like. There is a lot of machlokas, but the machlokas is usually about pratim and pirte pratim. And how did this machlokas arise? So he tells you. How did it arise? Did I skip a little bit? Mitzvos ela b'toldoseha, sheshamu ikara me'raboseyam. V'lo sha'alum al toldoseha, mipnei shelo shem shukal tzarkan. What happened? They heard the basic idea in shir, but there are certain details. They didn't ask the Rebbeim what's the din, and then the Rebbeim died, and they didn't know. And why didn't they know all these things? Shelo shem shukal tzarkan. They didn't do proper shimush. It's true for everything. So what does he mean when he says, Shaloshimtsu Koatsarkan? So here's referring to a very famous Gemara. The Gemara says that Lonechlaku, when Shammai and Hillel were around. There's actually very few debates between Shammai and Hillel. This is Gemara in Sanhedrin, Peches and the base. You have it over here. There are very few machloks in between Shammai and Hillel, but you find many, many machloks in between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, between the Talmidim. Why? Because Mishirabu Talmidei Shammai the Hillel Shaloshim Shukal Tzarkan, when these Talmidim, there are many Talmidim, and they weren't Mishamish the Rebbeim properly. So then Rav Samach Leger Yisrael Nasa Tark Shtei Tyrus. Then there was a proliferation of debate, Ad Kedei Kach, that it was Keilu Shtei Tyrus. So says the Gaonim, you see it over here in Rabbi Avram, he says, what does this tell you? It says that where did Machlokas originate? Machlokas originated from the fact that they weren't Mishamish the Rebbeim. And that lack of Shimush is what ultimately led to the proliferation of debate. This is what Rabbeinu, again, the Gaonim hold, we saw it in Rabbi Avram ibn Daud.
Where was that Gemara in Sanhedrin?
Peches Amud Beis, among other places. It's also in Shabbos, but Peches Amud Beis. So the Gemara says like this. So the Rambam says like this. The Rambam over here in the Hakdamah to Perashat Mishnah quotes this view of the Gaonim, and he calls it Megunim Me'od. It's disgusting. Why is it so disgusting? Because he is claiming that there is a tremendous amount of forgetting among the Chachmei Masaira. Right? The Rambam writes, he's pogim be'anashim asher niskablu mehem ha-mitzvos. The Chachmei Masaira. He's pogim ba'am. He's saying they forgot. They forgot so many things. Right? Who were the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel? Let's give some of the Hillel's, Shammai's, Hillel's Talmidim. Right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Bava ben Buta. I mean, these people certainly transmitted the Mesorah to the next generation, to the next generation, all the way going back to Sinai. Oh, so how do we explain the Gemara? Right, he quoted the Gemara. Mishirabu Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel Shaloshim Shukal Tzarkan, Nisrav Samachlekes B'Yisrael. So says the Rambam Hazei, Avama She'amru Mishirabu Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel Shaloshim Shukal Tzarkan, Rav Samachlekes B'Yisrael, Inyan Zeh Mivuar, Shekol shnei anashim biyosim shavim b'seichel uviyun uviyedias haikarim sheyotziu mehem asvaros lo tipol ben machlekes b'svarasam b'shum panim v'mnafla tiyeh mu'ata kemo shelo nimtza shenechleku shamai v'hillel ela b'halachos yiduos. If you have two people that agree on the rules of interpretation, and they're very, very, very skilled practitioners of those rules, and they know all the background, you'll have very few debates. You might have some, very few. And that's why you find that amongst Shammai and Hillel themselves, there are very few debates. V'zeh mipnei sheder shneim hayu krovo zeh lezeh. They're very close to each other. U'v'chol ma sheyotziu b'derech svara v'ikarim kemokein hanesunim lezeh kemo haikarim hanesunim lezeh. They're starting from the same assumptions, the same rules. They'll have very little machlokas. When the diligence of the Talmidim diminished, and it might also relate to persecution, we can talk about that soon. They weren't as great as Hillel Shammai. Uvam nafla machlokes b'nayhem b'ion shel dvarim rabim. So about them, there are machlokes that arise in terms of the interpretation of numerous things. Shesvas kol echad behen haisa lefi sichlo lefi ma sheyesh biyado min haikar. In other words, they weren't as skilled in applying these rules, and memela there is more debate. So therefore, we have more machlokes. And the Rambam writes, he continues, says, we shouldn't blame them for this, like he said before. Can't blame them. Ve'ein l'hashimam b'chol zos. We're not going to blame these Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel. Shelo nachriach anachnu l'shnei chachamim misvakchem b'inyan l'hisvakeach k'seichel Yoshua Pinchas. We can't expect everybody to be as great as Shammai v'Hillel or Yoshua and Pinchas. Ve'ein l'nsafik k'mo kein b'mashenech l'kuach arei she'enem k'mo Shammai v'Hillel. O kemo shehu l'malam mehem shakadosh baruch hu lo tivanu be'avodaso al inyan zeh, right? Just like Chmeis, the Talmidim of Rav Moshe Feinstein, his Talmidim weren't as great as Rav Moshe Feinstein, right? We don't say that that's a, you know, that they messed up. The Talmidim of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach weren't as great as Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. The Talmidim of the Rav weren't as great as the Rav. It's not, we don't, like we said before, we're not going to be pogeim the Chachmei Mesorah. They were great Talmidei Chachamim. They didn't reach the level of their Rebbeim. And therefore, there was a proliferation of debate. And the Rambam continues, and he says that, but because the nature of the way Torah was given, so even though debate proliferated, there's a way to resolve these shilas, a way to figure out what to do, right? So we ask the Chachmei Mesorah of each and every generation, and they solve the problem as they understand. Oh. So that's what the Rambam writes here. So let's talk a little bit about this. I know we don't have much more time, but let's try to understand the Rambam a little better. So what is the Rambam? Number one is the Rambam writes that when it comes to things for which there's a Mesorah, we don't find debate. And he repeats this again in Hilchos Mamrim, as we saw before. Divrei Kabbalah ein ben machlokes li'olam, v'chol davar shetimtza b'machlokes biyadua she'enu kabbalah Moshe Rabbeinu. If you find a machlokes about something, you know that it wasn't a Kabbalah. What does that mean? So the Rambam quotes the Gemara in Yevamos and other places where the Gemara says, im halacha nekabel, v'im ledin yesh tshuva. There's a debate. So one of the sides says, look, if you have a tradition for this, I accept it. I'm not going to argue with the tradition. If you're extrapolating this using din, using logic, using midos, so then yeshala tshuva, then I have a kasha. So whenever there was a Kabbalah, we find no machlokas. And therefore, you know, if you want to know about a certain halacha in the Gemara, and you want to know, you know, is this halacha rooted in a tradition going back to Moshe, or is it one of the laws that Chazal extrapolated using the Midos? Well, you could tell if there's a machlokas, you know that there is no Kabbalah on here. It's very interesting. When you're learning Gemara, you sometimes have the following chakira, right? When we go ahead and we extrapolate a certain detail from a pasuk, Yesh Lachkor, is the pshat that the true source is the Mesorah, and the psukim that we cite are just showing us what we already know. In that sense, it's almost like an illusion. Or is the pshat that we're trying to figure out what the pasuk means? And the answer, according to the Rambam, is yesh v'yesh. Sometimes we know the rule in advance. We're just looking for a pasuk, or an illusion, or an asmachta. For example, the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Pei Gimel on the base, Pei Dalet Aleph, tries to look for support that the idea of Ayin Tachas Ayin is Mamon. So like the Rambam told us before, Ayin Tachas Ayin is Mamon, that's a Mesorah. That's a Perush HaMekubal. The Gemara is trying to figure out, could we see it from a Pasuk? And the Gemara has all sorts of answers, which are, in a certain sense, Asmachtas. You know, well, what's an Asmachta? So sometimes we find an Asmachta for Din Rabbanan. And it's an illusion. According to the Rambam, that's like a mnemonic. Sometimes the Rambam says we also find an asmachta for halacha Moshe Mesinai or Perish Mekubal. In other words, it's not the true source. The true source of the law is the Kabbalah, is the Mesorah. But we have an asmachta, a pasuk that alludes to it. And that's why the Gemara over there in Bava Kamma, Pei Dalet Aleph, when the Gemara cites an opinion that says Ayin Tachas Ayin is Mamon, the Gemara says that's absurd. Of course, nobody holds that way. Because again, the true source for this is the Kabbalah. And you'll find no machlokes when it comes to Kabbalah. Okay, so that's what the Rambam says. I'll take your questions now. But what we'll talk about, I guess we'll begin with this next time, is challenges to the Rambam's perspective. So far today, we have two perspectives. We have the perspective of the Gaonim, that the source for machlokes is forgetting. We have the Rambam, who tells us that the source for machlokes is two interpretations. And I'd like you, if you have a chance, you'll see part of it cited over here, but you should really look it up on your own. There's a tremendous tshuva on this from the Chavos Ya'ir, Kuf Tzadi Beis, and he attacks the view of the Rambam. He attacks the view of the Gaonim. He considers a third possibility, that of the Ramban, the Chachmei Sfarad, the Ritva. He questions them. And what we're going to do, we'll start with this next time, is look at six kashas that the Chavos Yair has on the Rambam Shita, and we'll try to be Miyashiv Shita's Rambam, what the Rambam might respond. And then I'd like to talk a little bit about sort of how we got to where we are now from here. In other words, we'll look at the development of the oral law all the way down till Bizman Hazeh, and how we should look at Machlokas, how do we figure out what to do, Lamaisa, and the like. So Bezos Hashem, we'll pick up on that next time. Max.
I just wanted to clarify like Rambam's point. So Rambam, what he didn't like was saying that the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel were like, he didn't like a perspective that like in some ways belittled them or made them look like, oh, they just like weren't good, and like they just got mixed up. So
he's saying that how could you impute the Chachmei HaMesora to have forgotten so much? That's what the Gaonim are saying, that the Chachmei HaMesora.
So instead he responds to say that like, no, they just weren't as good as their futures.
They might not have been as good, and therefore when they're not as good, so there's going to be more machlokas. Let's say you have, you know, two really, really crackerjack expert doctors, and they look at the same patient, they're more likely to come out with the same conclusion. You have a little less experienced ones, so then they're more likely to be a machlokas about the diagnosis. Doesn't mean they're bad. It certainly doesn't mean they're forgot. Very different. There's a big difference between saying that the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel weren't as great as Shammai and Hillel, and therefore there's more debate in terms of how to understand a pasuk, than to say that all the debate in Chazal stems from the forgetting of the Masorah. The Rambam believes that the Masorah was sacrosanct, that things that were part of the Masorah were never forgotten. Debate emerges from things that weren't part of the Masorah.
Okay. All right. So you just to repeat, just so I understand you. So it's to say that they simply were not on the level of their teachers is in some ways more respectful and kabbalistic, and in some ways and speaks more to the integrity of the Masorah than just to say that they just weren't good enough and they forgot.
Yes, and they forgot.
Okay.
That huge things, huge amounts of Torah was forgotten in the in the generations that followed Shammai v'Hillel. Yes, Zev.
Okay. Thanks.
I just wanted to clarify something and maybe ask a question also. It was the Gaonim who said that the reason that we have Machlokas is because there wasn't
because of forgetting.
Well, is it because they didn't like Misham Misham the Chachamim?
Yeah. Well, the Gemara said Mishrabu Talmid Hashem Hillel Shelo Shimshu Kol Tzarkan Misrab Samachlokas BiYisrael. The question is, what does that mean? So the Gaonim said that meant because they forgot, and the Rambam is saying no, they were less skilled practitioners of employing the Midosh HaTar Medreshes Bahen, perhaps. We're going to see that there's actually a second reason for the proliferation of debate referred to in Ekamar that the Rambam adds in the Mishnah Torah, which is because there was also Bittul Sanhedrin and no way to resolve the debates. But we'll talk about that next week.
Well, I'm not sure if it's relevant. I think it might be that I once saw a vort on the first mission of us that Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mizianai Masra Yeshua and Masra Yeshua because he gave over like the Masorah. And the rest of the Mishnah of the chain, it drops the word Umasra.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a special Masorah that's given because Yeshua was Mishamish Moshe Rabbeinu in such a close way. So there's a special Masorah that's given when someone's Mishamish. So I guess that kind of makes sense with that.
Yeah, I hear. And it is very interesting that the Gemara says Shelo Shimshu Kol HaTzarkan. It doesn't say they didn't learn. Interesting.
I guess it just goes hand in hand the point that there's a certain Masorah which is given over when you're Mishamish someone so closely.
Yeah, I hear. Okay. Yes.
Here you go. When Ram says that Chazal argue about how to interpret the Torah using the Yogim Midos, and then that's what all these machlokas are about.
Mm-hmm.
So the machlokas didn't meaning. Let's just take a case like how many walls does a sukkah need? Does a sukkah need three walls or four walls? So before that machlokas, everybody knew the correct number of walls, or nobody ever thought about it before.
So that's part, we'll get to that next week. That's part of the Chavos Yair's Taina. It would seem from the Rambam that question was not either discussed or at least not resolved beforehand. In other words, at the very least, we could say that Moshe Rabbeinu did not tell Yehoshua, did not tell Klal Yisrael how many walls a sukkah needs minimally. So at a certain point in time, that question arose. How many walls do you need for a sukkah? Maybe everybody's always making a sukkah with four walls. And somebody started wondering, oh, is a sukkah good enough for three walls? And at that point, there was a debate how to understand the psukim and find an answer.
And if that debate would have arisen in times of Hillel and Shammai, it could be that they would have not, there would not been a, there would not have been a machlokas.
Could have been. It could be. Yeah.
Okay. So the follow-up question is that. So once we say that, let's say there's three walls or four walls, mm-hmm. that's going to have a token of din d'oraisa,
even so, though Chazal are arguing. Yes. The answer is yes, but with a kenach, which is that the Rambam uses different terminology than we're used to when it comes to these types of issues. We're used to thinking of things that are d'oraisa versus d'rabbanan. D'oraisa means coming from God, and d'rabbanan means legislated by Chazal. And those are the two categories. The Rambam talks about, generally speaking, Divrei Torah and Divrei Sofrim. Divrei Sofrim is not limited to Dinim D'Rabbanan in the sense of rabbinic legislation, as this is most famously discussed regarding his position on Kiddusha Kesef, but many other places it becomes clear. Divrei Sofrim could mean rabbinic legislation, but it could also mean Chazal's interpretation of the text of the Chumash. The Rambam, in fact, talks about in a tshuva, how did he know to make Kiddushe Shtar de'oraisa, or Dvar Torah, and Kiddushe Kesef de'vrei Sofrim? And he says, explains why he did that. The Rambam treats Halach L'Moshe Misinai as Divrei Sofrim. And the reason for that is because it's not explicit in the text. So the Rambam thinks that what the Rambam calls Dvar Torah is things that are explicit in the text or could be derived in a more straightforward reading of the text. And that's what he says, for example, that the things that are counted in the Taryag Mitzvos are things that are Dvar Torah, as opposed to things that are Divrei Sofrim. So Divrei Sofrim doesn't have to mean rabbinic legislation. If you want that tshuva that I was referring to, it's a tshuva to Rav Pinchas Adayin. It's in Simen, in the Tshuva Sarambam, Shin Nun He. And the Magid Mishnah over there quotes that in Hilchos Ishos, Perk Aleph, Halacha Beis. And there's also in Birkas Avram, also another tshuva from the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah. It's interesting because is there a nafkamina? There's, let's say, you have two halachos. One of them is Dvar Torah, according to the Rambam. One of them is Divrei Sofrim. But again, not legislation. So is there a nafkamina? So Pashtus says there's no nafkamina. That's what the Magid Mishnah says over there in the Tashbetz, Aleph. However, there's evidence actually in the Rambam that there are nafkaminas. Take a look at the Rambam, Hilchos Shechita Perkei Halacha Gimel, Hilchos Mikvaos Perkches Halacha Vav. Now is not the time to go into this, but I think that that there might be differences for the Rambam. But you certainly see that in the Rambam, in his Sefer HaMitzvos, and both in the Klalim and the Sefer HaMitzvos and in the application. So Dvar Torah for the Rambam means, if you want, you call it Pshat or what could what emerges in a straightforward way from the text, whereas Divrei Sofrim are things that we know through Chazal. That includes through their interpretation of the text, and it includes through their enactments. And again, like the principle of Safik Divrei Sofrim, Safik Divrei Sofrim, it could be that, again, as opposed to almost all the other Rishonim, where it means if it's given from God, then Safik L'Chumra, and rabbinically legislated Safik L'Kula, could be the Rambam is a different halach about that. Take a look, as I said, in that halach in Hilchos Mikvaos.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, sure. Yes, Avram.
Isn't there a medrash that says that there's no such thing as a chiddush because everything was said to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai?
There's a medrash that says, I think you're referring to maybe the Yerushalmi, that says Afin Lumasha Talmud Vasek Asad Lachadesh Nemer Lamosha Misinai.
Exactly, that's the one.
It doesn't say Lachadesh actually, but everybody quotes it. It's quoted as Lachadesh. It says Lahoros in Yerushalmi. But anyway, so let's try to understand what that means. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. But you could see that Minei Ubei, it makes no sense. Because Manafshach, if it's a Chiddush, then it wasn't, then if it was said Lamosha Misinai, it's not a Chiddush. So what does that mean? So what it means is, and again, maybe we'll be Mayrach on this next week, but what it means is that the root of any true Torah concept comes from the Torah that was given to Moshe at Sinai. It doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu heard it at Sinai. It doesn't mean Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu this idea at Sinai. When Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting in the back of Rabbi Kiva's classroom, he was all confused. And then when Rabbi Kiva said, oh, these are from Moshe Misinai, he felt better. But he still had no idea what Rabbi Kiva was talking about. Meaning to say that it was rooted, every true Chiddush is rooted in Torah Misinai, but it could still be a Chiddush. It could be still an idea that came up that's novel. So the interpretation of Chazal, according to the Rambam, it doesn't mean that it was given literally to Moshe Misinai, but it's rooted in the Torah that was given to Moshe at Sinai. That's where the Rambam would understand that, perhaps.
Wow. Thank you very much. It just reminds me also of this famous joke, you know, that someone told a Chiddush to the Ragachover and he started laughing. And they asked him why. He said, because, you know, there's no such thing as a Chiddush, but this guy, he was really saying Chidushim. He was saying things that were not said to Moshe Rabbeinu.
Very good.
Okay, anyways, have a great Shabbos.
Good Shabbos. Yes, Eli.
Shabbos.
I was wondering, did Rebbe mention that when we talk about the possibility that mitzvah were given at Ohel Moed, that's referring to the Ohel Moed of Moshe, which was around before the Mishkan was established?
No, that's not what it means, I think. Like in this week's Parsha, it means that the Ohel Moed that Moshe set up when he came down from Har Sinai in Yom Kippur. In other words, that's what the, right? So I think that's what the Ohel Moed means in this week's Parsha.
And so it's not referring to the Mishkan, like the Kodesh Kadashim?
Well,
and like
the Mishkan wasn't built yet. When the Mishkan was built, so that was the Ohel Moed. Until the Mishkan was built, so there the Ohel Moed was Michutz L'machane, as the Pesukim describe.
Ah, okay. Thank you. Thank you.
I think so.
Okay, thank you very much, Rebbe. Have a good Shabbos.
Sure. Good Shabbos.